People often think that love and limits are opposite to each other, but in reality, love and limits work really well together.
On today's Wake Up with Hope, we're talking about the power of combining love and limits and the impact it can have on our children.
We also have another recipe to share, a devotional by Pastor Mark Finley, and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Wake Up with Hope. Every morning is a new opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone, and we're here to share that joy with you today.
Happy Friday, my friends. The flowers are blooming and summertime is in full motion. We are so grateful to have made it to this time of year with you.
And on today's program, Taj Pachleb joins us to take us on an adventure through another Reflections of Hope episode. Pastor Mark Finley joins us to share a powerful devotional. Ready, Set, Cook is back in the kitchen, and we have some parenting tips. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1920, a dramatic battle in the Tennessee House of Representatives ended with the state ratifying the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution on August 18, 1920. After decades of struggle and protest by suffragettes across the country, the decisive vote is cast by a 24-year-old representative who reputedly changed his vote after receiving a note from his mother reminding him to be a good boy. One vote changed the trajectory of women in this country. Women could now vote and participate in major political decisions in the country. They could now feel respected, valued, and appreciated thanks to one vote.
You know, what's your impact, friend? What one thing can you do today to make all the difference in someone's life or even the world? Can you exchange a smile or a kind word with someone else? How about the person you pass by daily but hardly let them know that you've noticed them? Maybe it's a coworker who doesn't quite get the credit they deserve. Could it be your spouse or your children who are craving a little compassion? Be the change today. Be the one who makes all the difference because you've decided to share the love of Jesus with others. After all, it's what the good news is all about, isn't it?
Amen. How can we combine love and limits to create a safe space for our children to thrive? The Parenting Place joins us now to teach us.
Parenting is all about love and limits. And often those two things feel like they're opposites. But remember that love is not just a warm, fuzzy emotion. It's actually often expressed through our actions. So you can feel upset, you can feel disappointed, you can even feel angry, but you can still be loving if you choose to act in the best interests of your child. You know, rules and boundaries can actually be a really great way of showing love. Now, when you put those rules in place, make sure that you can start every rule you make with, because I love you, dot, dot, dot. Because I love you, you're not allowed to play with those knives. Because I love you, you need to hold my hand whenever we cross the road. Because I love you and your brother, we don't fight in this home. You see, loving our children means that we have to set boundaries to protect them and to keep them safe.
It's summertime and it's time for cabbage salad. Our friends from Ready, Set, Cook are here to share a delicious recipe perfect for a summer day.
It's now time to take a quick break. Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to look back at recent episodes and see what else is going on at Hope Channel.
And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there. We'll be right back after this short break. But first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up.
Oh, hi, honey. Thanks for doing the shopping.
Oh, you're welcome. Is this a good kind of bread?
I don't know. What's in it? What's on the ingredient list?
Well, why does that matter?
Well, there are chemicals in our foods that I prefer not to eat.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like aspartame. It's in 6,000 items on our shelves. 200 million people eat it every day. It's a sweetener.
Oh, I love sweets. Give me some aspartame.
Well, you might not want it when you hear that some people think it causes headaches and tremors. Some people even think it causes brain tumors.
Ooh, yuck. So how do you tell if it's good or not?
Tell us what's in the bread.
Oh, well, let's see. The first ingredient is whole wheat flour.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then we have yeast, gluten, oil, honey.
Well, that all sounds great.
And then we have azo dicarbon amide. You have to be a chemist to read this one.
If God made it, eat it.
If man made it, read it.
And if you can't read it, don't eat it. Doctor's orders.
One of the most beautiful and harmless places on earth was once thought of as the Isle of Devils. It was found by accident by explorers from the ancient world. But tragically, the mariners misread the situation, and as a result, a nation missed out on an epic island paradise. They allowed blind fear to rob them of a beautiful reward in a peaceful paradise. Unfortunately, many are making the same mistake in the everyday decisions of life. The Reflections of Hope episode explores a lesson from history that highlights the dangers of allowing fear to take control of your life.
In the great North Atlantic Ocean, there's a British island paradise that is like heaven on earth. It's known for its beautiful pink sand beaches, rugged rock formations, and captivatingly clear turquoise waters. Everything is easy on the eyes, relaxing to the senses, and calming to the nerves. With a landmass of just 20 square miles and a population of only 65,000, it's a small piece of paradise enjoyed by a relative few. But did you know that this piece of heaven on earth was once called the Isle of Devils? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? In fact, during the 1500s, this island was on nobody's bucket list. The screeching of cahows, the squealing of swine, the whistling of the tree frogs, and the howling of the wind sounded like the wailing of demons to superstitious sailors. Many believed that this island was haunted by evil spirits, but nothing could be further from the truth. History tells us that Bermuda was named after the 16th century Spanish navigator, Juan de Bermudez. He was the first to accidentally discover this uninhabited paradise in 1505. Though it was first discovered by a Spaniard, Bermuda was never claimed nor colonized by the Spanish. Some of the local tour guides told me that the reason why the Spanish never claimed this island was because of fear. Fear of the treacherous reef-filled waters and the imaginary evil spirits that supposedly haunted this island. Jokingly, some say that Bermudez lived up to his name. He came for one day, and then he left. That's why they call him Juan de Bermudez. It's a humorous saying, but I can imagine very unsettling for Spain, thinking about the possibilities that could have been. It wasn't until over a century later that the island was finally settled by the English in 1612. So although named after a Spaniard, English is the mother tongue of this British colony. Now, I found it interesting that the Isle of Devils happens to be one of the most beautiful and harmless places on earth. There are no dangerous snakes or poisonous spiders or ferocious beasts that can harm you. In fact, seldom will you even see a shark in the water. If you ask me, This place is harmless and very habitable. This is God's country, a desired destination for multitudes who are looking for rest and relaxation from all over the world. Now, I found it very foolish that a country missed out on colonizing this uninhabited paradise. Why? Because of fear. But you know, as I thought about that, I began to realize that many people are doing the exact same foolish thing today. You see, friends, there is a true paradise that God is preparing for us in heaven. A sweet, harmless haven of rest. A place with no tears or fears. A place where there's no dying, nor sorrow, nor crying, or pain. A perfect paradise, where the flowers never fade, laughter never ceases, joy never dims, people never die, children don't get sick, and the sky never darkens. It's a place that you surely don't want to miss. But tragically, when we all get to heaven and the road is called to be yonder, many people will be absent. Why? Well, for the same reason why Bermuda's missed out on Bermuda. One word, fear. You see, many people in our world are afraid to trust God with their lives, afraid to let Him have full control, afraid of surrender and self-sacrifice. Many people think that God is some kind of tyrant, some kind of celestial sheriff that is out there to get them and make them miserable in holiness. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is not of God, friends. It is the enemy's work to make us afraid. But God is the one who said to Isaiah, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. You are mine." He is the same one that said to Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And He is the same one that says to all of us today, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Fear is not from God. Fear is from the enemy of God. And fear is an acronym. It stands for false evidence appearing real. Just like Juan de Bermudez, many people are being deceived and duped by the devil's false evidence. And because of that, many will miss out on the celestial paradise. My friend, allow me to speak to your heart today. Is there something that the devil has caused you to believe that makes you afraid to trust God? Is there a demonic distraction that has deterred you from the path to paradise? Or maybe there's a decision that you need to make, but you hesitate because you're afraid of failure. Well, today I want to encourage you. Do not be deceived by the devil's delusions, nor be deterred by his demonic distractions. Let God remove all the unfounded fear from your heart, and let Him replace it with His perfect peace and His saving grace. I invite you to go forward in holy boldness and unwavering faith. Go and claim the heavenly paradise as your own, and don't allow the fear to get in the way. Now, the way to overcome fear is to be filled with love. You see, fear will cast you out of paradise. The Bible says that God's perfect love will cast out fear from you. So instead of focusing on the uncertainty of your circumstance, instead of dwelling upon the difficulties and musing upon all the mistakes you've made in life, take your eyes off of yourself and place them on the blessed Christ. Let Him pour out His love in your heart. And just as darkness is dispelled by light, as God's love comes in, the devil's fears will go out. And instead of being driven by fear, false evidence appearing real, you will be drawn by faith. Faith which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith that will lead us all the way into the heavenly paradise. Not just for one day, but for all eternity. And by God's grace, I'll see you there.
Coming up right after this break, Pastor Mark Finley will share today's devotional thought.
And don't forget to visit us at hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides and explore the life-changing power of the Word of God. Wake up with hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
Wine alcohol is not very popular in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Intoxicating drink arouses brawling. What's a mocker mean? It means it deceives you. You drink a little wine, affects the forebrain where conscience, reason, and judgment are located, and you're deceived. Wine is not very popular in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, raises some questions. Who has woe? Do you want that? Who has sorrow? How many of you want sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look upon the wine when it's red. That's when the juice is fermented. When it sparkles in the cup. When it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Wine is not very popular at all in the book of Proverbs. You know, I've read one statistic that was really interesting. 2 out of every 5 people that begin drinking alcohol become problem drinkers. In other words, they either lose work because of their drinking, they either become so inebriated that it leads them to premature disease and ultimately death, or they have problems in their marriages. 2 out of every 5 people that start drinking experience that. What if you had a German Shepherd dog that only bit 2 out of every 5 of your guests? Would you have too many friends that wanted to visit your home? Obviously not. There's a dangerous and shocking claim of the World Health Organization, it's called WHO, W-H-O, regarding cancer and alcohol that has recently come to the forefront. The World Health Organization says that the risk of cancer starts, now get this, with the first drop of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying that as a preacher. This is World Health Organization. Then they go on to conclude, and this was reported in Lancet, which is the journal of the British Medical Association, therefore, no amount of alcohol can be called safe for human health. According to this WHO statement published in Lancet Public Health, I'm quoting, when it comes to drinking alcohol, there is no safe amount that does not affect health, according to Dr. Karina Faria Borges, acting unit head of the Non-Communicable Disease Management and Regional Advice. She said, we can't talk about so-called safe levels of alcohol use. It doesn't matter how much you drink. Drinkers run the health risk with the first drop of any alcohol they drink. Again, she is affirming this report out of Lancet, affirming what the World Health Organization says. We cannot say that moderate drinking is safe for health. That's been said for decades. We continue. She says, more boys with cancer are being diagnosed than girls in India. And Lancet says there's a direct link between alcohol and this cancer. According to the report of Healthline, a recent study has revealed that there's a direct link, amazingly so, between carcinogens and the development of a variety of kinds of cancers and alcoholic beverages. Drinking alcoholic beverages such as wine and beer increases the risk of, can you believe this, 7 different types of cancer. Increases the risk of mouth cancer, throat cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, cancer of the esophagus. The research has also found that most people in America are suffering from the disease, but they don't even know it. They don't even know about the danger of alcohol. The study that I'm quoting was done under the direction of William Klein, who was the associate director of the National Cancer Institute of America. And he says that some people think that drinking wine is beneficial for health, but it is not so. See, some of those early studies, you may have been familiar with them, said that drinking alcohol in moderate amounts is beneficial for your health, and it's beneficial for your heart. That is simply not true. Now, it is true that there is something called reversosol in grapes. And that reverse assault can be helpful to the heart. And so that's why earlier studies that said moderate drinking might help the heart were largely based on this idea of the reverse assault, the product in the grapes. The earlier studies, incidentally, were flawed because they were done on animals, and particularly on rats and mice. And rats and mice consume and digest and assimilate alcohol differently than human beings do. So those studies largely now have been put aside, the earlier studies that talked about the benefit of a little alcohol for the heart, because of the higher risk of these seven types of cancer from alcohol. And citing WHO's National Agency on Cancer, they said, it is a mental dependence that rationalizes people to take more or fewer poisons like alcohol, while alcohol puts them at a higher, the highest risk of cancer. This new study also revealed that consuming alcohol increases not only the risk of cancer, but it increases multiple other diseases, and that people are not aware of it. Heavy drinkers, of course, we've known for years, have had higher risk of cirrhosis of the liver. And in 3 John chapter 2, our Lord puts it this way in 3 John 2. He says, "Beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health." God longs for you to be in health. And he knows that alcohol affects the forebrain. And as it affects the forebrain, you become less capable of making wise, healthful decisions. And as you become less capable of making wise, healthful decisions, you continue to drink more and more and more, which predisposes you to these different types of cancer and varying other diseases. This is why Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you, therefore." In other words, I beseech you, I urge you that you present your bodies. The word for bodies there is soumata in the Greek language. It means the total sum of everything you are, your mind, your body, your spirit, as a living sacrifice unto God. Paul says, I beseech you, I urge you to come. Present your body. Can I honestly present my body as a living sacrifice to God when I am hypnotizing, anesthetizing my brain through alcohol so it cannot receive the impressions of the Holy Spirit? Why is it that people who drink, why is it that they feel that there's no health consequences to drinking and it's just something that's kind of like a sedative that calms them down? It's because the alcohol is affecting their forebrain. The more you drink, the less capable you are of analyzing the scientific information that points out the harmful effects of drinking. The more you drink, the less capable you are of hearing the voice of God to your heart. The more you drink, the less capable you are of the moving of the Spirit on the brain. The only safe way is God's way. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
Amen. It was. And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, maybe rewatch an episode during the weekend, or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We will have health news from Dr. Narada McKibben, music, another recipe from Gia, and so much more. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
That's right. And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." That's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know, this short and simple promise is awe-inspiring. When we seek God and put Him first, He promises that everything else will follow. We will lack nothing, and we can rest assured that He will take care of us.
Amen. We are ready to start our weekend now, friends. We hope that you will take these reminders of God's love with you throughout your weekend. And we truly pray that you will have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday morning right here.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, how good it has been. It's been a blessed week. Thank you, Lord, that you carried us through it. And now, Lord, as we come to the end of the week, we're going to relax a bit. Some of us may have some special plans, and some of us, Lord, may just be resting at home, whatever the case may be. We pray, Lord, that you would give our hearts rest, that you would bless us with peace. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you for the joy you give to our hearts. And may you bless us as we continue on with faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.